This is Guildcast, Episode 3, for December 2nd, 2005. Welcome back, everyone, to Guildcast. This is Episode 3, and I'm your host, Sean. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about a few different things. First of all, I wanted to thank everyone who's emailed me and given me support, you know, encouraging words for the podcast. People I've talked to in the game, too. It really means a lot to me when people in the game tell me how much they like the podcast. It means people are listening, first of all, and also that this podcast is doing what I set out to do, which is basically to inform people. I did get an email from a kid named Alan. He's 14 years old, and he was asking me a few questions that I answered for him. But it got me to thinking what I was doing when I was 14. And I believe when I was 14, I had a Commodore 64, and I was playing a lot of those AD&D Gold Box series games like Pool of Radiance, Curse of the Azerbaijan, Secret of the Silver Blades, Pools of Darkness, I believe Hillsfar is another one. But these are, you know, the original games that really pretty much put, you know, AD&D on the map in these kinds of games and really set the stage for even games like Guild Wars now, even though, you know, it's far advanced from that. Then I started thinking about what was the first game I ever played with this type of subject matter. And I would have to say, I hope there's someone out there who remembers this game, and I'm not the only old person listening to this, but Talengard was the name of the game, and I played it for the Commodore 64. That game was amazing, and I looked it up, I did a Google search on it, and there's so many websites out there devoted to this game, because it was one of the first. I think it was made in 1983, and I believe I played it probably in about 84, 85, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I remember just playing this for hours and hours. It's just an endless game. You just explore maps, you get rich, and that's about it. And it was the funnest thing in the world to an 9-year-old kid, or at least to me. But I think that pretty much set the stage for my gaming, and then it was pretty much all downhill from there. But I just wanted to thank Alan for writing in and letting me take that trip down memory lane. Now on to the Guild Wars update notes and news. There hasn't been an update this week, but what there has been is a slight change in the rules for the World Championship. What's happened is they've expanded a little bit to make it so that each player participating in the World Championship must be a member of his or her guild continuously from December 5th through December 31st, 2005. And if a player changes guilds, then they will be ineligible to compete in the World Championship. They're supposed to release more details about this next week. I wanted to talk a little bit about a PvP strategy that is actually dying out in popularity, but a few months ago it was pretty popular, and that's the Iowa build. I'm not sure if you've heard anyone talking about the Iowa build or you've seen it when you go to play PvP. I won't give away too much about it because there's so many different ways that people can play the Iowa build, but the most popular way usually is someone will get a Warrior Ranger, and what they'll do is Iowa, what it stands for is I Will Avenge You, that skill, that warrior skill, I Will Avenge You, and the build is basically centered around that skill. And the concept behind it is you get a pet, so Charm Animal is a requirement for this build. You get a pet. When the pet dies, you can cast I Will Avenge You, and what that does is it gives you the that 10 seconds of health regeneration, which will be, if your strength skill is maxed out, you'll get health regeneration of 6, and your attack speed increases by 33%. So basically what happens, and this is for every dead ally, so if everybody in your group has a pet and these pets die, you get the 10 seconds of plus 6 health regeneration per pet that dies, or ally that dies also. And this is a lot. This pretty much makes you almost invincible. And when you mix this with an elite skill such as Eviscerate, which is an axe skill, it can really be a good build. But the thing is, people have caught on to this. You know, you get a group full of people with pets, and you know, people know now not to kill the pets, so they're gonna keep them alive because they're the easiest thing to kill. But there's so many, especially with mesmers and monks, even necros, there's so many ways to counter this Aiwei build, and a lot of people have caught on, and that's why it's pretty much not as popular as it used to be, because everyone pretty much knows about it. They know what to do to counter it, and I think it's going by the wayside. But just in case anyone was curious about it, I thought I would kind of talk about what the build really means. Now for the scam warning segment. What I wanted to talk about this time was something that I actually touched on in episode 1, and that's the scam that usually follows with runners. And I'm going to go a little bit more into detail now about runners and how you can be scammed by them and what to look out for the newer players. A lot of times what will happen is people will say they'll run you most popularly from Beacon's Perch to Drachner's Forge. And since the update, it's a lot more expensive for that run, which in my opinion is worth it. Even, you know, sometimes people charge 3-4K, and I think it's worth it sometimes because that is a hard run and those people really know what they're doing. And you're paying for them for their expertise in knowing exactly which way to go, how to get there. It's not so much their toughness, although that helps, you know, their skills, but it's them knowing exactly where to go and where to rest. But the thing you have to really watch for as far as scams go is you have to watch out for the people who want money up front. Usually when they want money up front, what they're doing is they're going to take your money and they're going to run. Now, that could work in the reverse way also. A lot of times the runners will get scammed if they say, you know, you pay all once you get to the city. Once you get to Drox, you pay them 4K. Well, what if once you walk in that door, you disconnect, you know? So both parties have to protect themselves in this instance. So the most common thing that's done to be safe for both people is they will pay half, usually at a Snake Dance or Camp Rancor, which is probably a little bit better. If I were a newbie and looking for a run, I would look for someone who was willing to get half at Camp Rancor, or even a partial at Camp Rancor, because then at least you made it that far, and then the rest at Drox. But basically what you need to do is just look out for those people who can scam you. And the best thing to do is you can ask around. You can, you know, if you're in a good guild, you can ask people who they would recommend as a runner. There's actually guilds out there just full of runners, and that's all they do is run, and they do a good job at it, and you just need to find a fair one. Alright, now what I wanted to do was I wanted to read a little bit of fan fiction. The story that I'm about to read is an excellent story, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the entire story on my site. I'm going to have a page set up distinctly for fan fiction, where I hope to collect more and more fan fiction as time goes by and as people submit it to me. But this story here is a story by a guy named James Satan. I believe that's his character name. And he's from the guild Empires of the West. His story is called North of the Wall, and I'm going to read only a section of it, just to kind of give a feel of what the story's all about and how good it is. And if you want to read the whole thing, feel free to check it out on the fan fiction section of my website. Part 4. It was the autumn of the day, and red dusky light spilled over the tops of the broken buildings and sand dunes on either sides of the path. Long shadows mixed with warm, dry air to make the desert feel like a warm summer's garden. The only things missing were the lush green turf and shady trees. The old man appreciated the calm before the storm. The shuffling tromps of more than one pair of hooves in sand scattered the peaceful thoughts of the warrior. He turned around, backtracked a few strides, and quickly scrambled up the bank and off the path. Moving parallel to the path, his feet slipped on the sand dune with every step. He moved 30 feet towards the source of the noise as quietly as he could. He waited. As the sounds approached, he could tell the char were not alone. He counted 3 char, one far larger than the others, and one human. He was certain. Although there had been no mention of humans in this band of char, he could now hear the unmistakable sound of a light human tread. They had passed him now. In a few more steps they would see his footprints on the path, and he would have his chance. Quickly he scrambled over the bank and landed silently, cat-like, on the sandy path. A male human dressed in dark brown cloth, a healer, an ashwalker char, and a huge, shambling bladestorm warrior, the dull evening light glinting off of one spiked, iron-clad shoulder. Suddenly, the bladestorm warrior grunted and rushed away from the group. The warrior smiled. His own footprints were a clever trap. He charged the healer from behind, his sword slicing off the beast's head completely on its way to the ashwalker. The necromancer beast never had a chance, its shiny little black eyes seeming only to watch the silver reflections on the sword as it raced towards its own body. The smallest grunt escaped its body before it slumped to the ground. The old man turned on the human scum that traveled with these beasts and took a step forward. He raised his sword high above his head and brought it down in a crushing blow, and missed. His sword passed straight through the enemy's body. He swung again. Again he missed. Realization dawned. He hated bloody mesmers more than monks. A weak cast of human. Unable to fight or even heal those who do, they simply spread dissension and fear. Dirty, sick little minds that thought up ways to hurt and disable an opponent without hitting him once. Feeling a terrible sickness, the old man spun around, aware that the Bladestorm warrior would likely have charged him by now. He looked down to a sandy floor covered in the thick dark blood of the char he had slain. Instinctively, he kicked a large pile of the crimson dirt into the face of the charging Bladestorm and whirled sideways at the last second. Char and human crashed into each other. The thin, weak human pinned to the ground beneath the heavy-plated beast. The old man calmly and quickly thrust his sword point between the huge char's shoulder blades, a thin leather strap all the armor the beasts used on the back. When he met the resistance of iron plate at the front of the creature's ribcage, he leaned down on the sword and sent the full length of his blade through both beast and human on the ground, the only noise, a thin reedy sigh escaping the human's lips. Darkness fell like an icy blanket across the desert. The old man rolled the bodies of the char patrol down the side of the path to the rolling dunes below. With the assistance of night, nothing would find these bodies, not until after he had done what he came to do. The char were not renowned for good night vision, but his tired old eyes were not much better. He knew he would have at least a slight advantage in the dark. As he approached the crest of the next sand dune, he lay on his belly and shuffled into a position overlooking the whole char camp. Before he even reached the top of the dune he lay on, he realized that this was no mere war party. The sounds of a smithy were audible for at least half a mile around, the clinking of metal on metal, the bellows forcing the fire to roar, and the whoosh of hot metal thrust into sand. The vast fires of the encampment spread their light amongst the long shadows of the night, like the arms of a spider, painted in negative across the dunes. Vast numbers of char warriors lumbered like docile herd beasts around the blazing cooking fires. The scents of cooking meat and burning charcoal reached the old man's nose, and he realized he had not eaten since 2 days past. Long war banners flapped in the light breeze, and huge tents dotted the edge of the camp. One large round tent stood in the middle of the entire camp, and a fire clearly burned within it. Odd shadows played across the material seemingly randomly, and human-like shapes moved intermittently inside. A single char martyr, dressed in grays with fine beads hanging off his body, clinked slowly towards one of the larger tents on the outskirts of the camp, carrying a blazing torch and platter of food with it, lighting the torches on the path as it went. The warrior suppressed a smile. One beast had led him straight to the tent with the healers in it. Every human knew the char healers were deeply religious and mostly solitary animals, preferring to keep to their own, and pray to their gods behind closed doors rather than mix with the other char until they had to. Lighting those torches would help him distinguish which tent he needed to investigate, once he had repositioned and was approaching the camp from an easier direction. An hour passed, then two. The char martyr had not emerged from the tent, so it must be the one where it was to spend the night. The old warrior slipped down the embankment and towards the camp. He silently ran his short knife through the back of the tent. The material parted soundlessly from floor to 6 feet high. Sword drawn in his right hand, dagger in his left, with his shield slung over his back, he stepped through the opening. I hope you all enjoyed this story, and hopefully I will get more fan fiction for next week's show, and hopefully I can read a story on each show. Like I said, if you want to check more of that story out, go ahead and check it out on my website on the fan fiction section, and you can read the entire story. It's really a good story. The part I read is only a fraction of it. Not even getting to the good part when he fights the Char in their camp. Well, that'll do it for this episode. I thank you all for listening. And if you want to contact me by email, you can email me at sean@guildcast.com. Check out the website at www.guildcast.com. You can talk to me in the game. If I'm on, go ahead and give me a shout. My names on there are Walmart Special, BBQ Ribs, and Priestess Julie. That's Juli. If you see me on, go ahead and give me a shout. Tell me what you think about the podcast. Next episode, I'm going to talk about ascension and what it means to ascend and some of the stories on the easiest ways to ascend for certain professions. But until next time, tell your friends, tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.